Support for Up to Date is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here, where it matters.
Welcome to the Up to Date podcast from WVIA News on this Friday morning. I'm Lydia McFarlane, and for your host, Sarah Cinto. And I'm here to bring you some of our newsroom's most interesting and informative stories. Today we'll talk about the resignation of a commissioner's top aide in Lackawanna County, Little League in Luzerne County, a nonprofit for trafficked women, and more. It's Friday, July 24th. Let's get you up to date. We'll go first to Luzerne County, where two tournaments will receive widespread attention over the next week and a half. WVIA's Sarah Hofius Hall has more about what to expect on area softball and baseball fields.
Softball players from across the Northeast United States marched down streets in Nanticoke on Wednesday. The parade marked the start of the first of two major tournaments in Luzerne County. Organizers hope the softball tournament that started Thursday and a baseball tournament that starts next week will be grand slams for the region.
It offers a great opportunity from other states to see what Luzerne County has to offer.
That's Bob Bertoni, Little League District 1631 administrator. The Nanticoke Area Little League is hosting the East Region Junior Little League Softball Championship. Winning teams from eight state tournaments are playing for the regional championship. The best Little League baseball teams from around the state will compete in Jenkins Township next week at the Pennsylvania State Major Baseball Tournament. From hotel rooms to gas and food, the region will benefit from the tournaments in many ways. That's according to Alan Stout, executive director of Visit Luzerne County. He estimates an economic impact of up to $2.5
million. We will be doing everything we can to make sure that not only they have a good time, but that they want to come back again.
Bertoni hopes to see the public in Nanticoke this weekend, and then in Jenkins Township next week.
It's going to be a great time with great softball, great baseball, and great food.
For more information, including a link to the game schedules, visit WVIA.org. Reporting from Nanticoke, I'm Sarah Hofius Hall, WVIA News.
And now to Lackawanna County, where the top aide to a commissioner resigned this week after a county employee said the aide tried to strong-arm him for political reasons. WVIA's Boris Krauchenyuk has the story of what happened with Commissioner Tom Welby's former executive assistant.
The man who manages the Electric City Trolley Museum in Scranton says Lackawanna County Commissioner Tom Welby's top aide tried to strong-arm him politically. Museum manager Chris Calvey said Welby aide Josh Castellani told him his job could be in jeopardy if he didn't support Castellani's slate for County Democratic Party offices last week. Welby and other county officials declined to comment on Calvey's charge or say if they disciplined Castellani. In a text exchange Monday afternoon with WVIA News, Castellani acknowledged he was suspended but said Calvey's statements weren't true. But Calvey said Castellani called him about a week before the party met to elect officers. He said Castellani wanted support for a slate of party office candidates that included Castellani for secretary. When Calvey spoke of knowing the chairperson candidate on a competing slate, Castellani kept defending his slate.
And at one point he said, well, you're director of the Trolley Museum, and it should be in your best interest, and you should be concerned as to the outcome, as the position could be jeopardized. I've said, I feel that you're strong-arming me in this decision.
On Monday afternoon, Castellani said what Calvey was saying isn't true. He texted WVIA to say he's been vindicated, his suspension was lifted, and his pay was reinstated. But by then, County Chief of Staff Brian Jeffers confirmed Castellani had already resigned. Jeffers said Castellani resigned Monday morning. I'm Boris Krauchenyuk, WVIA News.
Read Boris's full story on our website, WVIA.org. Now for some state news. State House Democrats on Thursday rejected a proposal by Senate Republicans to rewrite the penalties for second-degree murder. As Tom Reese reports for WVIA, one prosecutor now hopes to delay a Friday deadline for changing the rules.
Tensions have been mounting since the state Supreme Court ruled earlier this year that it's unconstitutional to impose a sentence of life without parole for second-degree murder. The court set a Friday deadline for state officials to create new guidelines. But Republicans and Democrats in Harrisburg have been unable to agree. On Thursday, the House rewrote a Senate proposal, leaving no time for the Senate to take a vote before the deadline. Leaders in both parties say they hope to reach an agreement in a few weeks. But in the meantime, hundreds of lifers could ask courts for a release or new sentences. And on Thursday, Allegheny County District Attorney Steve Zappala urged the state Supreme Court to push back its deadline for 120 days. Reporting from Harrisburg, Tom Reese.
Thanks to Tom for that story. WVIA's Roger Dupuis talked with Northeast Pennsylvania District Attorneys and lawmakers about their views on the sentencing issue you just heard about. You can read that full story on our website, WVIA.org. There's more to come from Up to Date just after this short break. Stay with us.
I'm Boris Krauchenyuk with WVIA News. Thanks for listening to WVIA Radio. Read more about some of the stories you hear at our website, WVIA.org/news. We appreciate your support because we report to you.
Welcome back. This is Up to Date from WVIA News. And I'm Lydia McFarlane, filling in for Sarah Cento. Let's get back to the news. Let's go now to the Lehigh River, where over rapids, conversations flowed from coal mines to loyalty to political parties during Raft for America's first whitewater rafting adventure of the season. Raft stands for Reuniting America by Fostering Trust. And the around 25 participants who paddled down the river ranged from a DACA recipient to former and current elected officials. WVIA's Kat Bolish joined the crews as they worked together to stay afloat while bridging personal and political divides.
Five strangers assembled to paddle down the Lehigh River faced their first challenge while still dry.
So we're going to all lift up our raft and start moving forward.
Pennsylvania State Senator Dave Argall, Bucks County resident Tom Marino, and Chris Newland were part of the crew who pushed the raft into the water. Now seated in the boat, everyone grabbed a paddle. River guide Jerry Downs told them to steer the raft to the left side of the bridge.
If you paddle together, we actually go places.
Learning to work together began on dry land at Whitewater Challengers Campground in the Poconos. Ken Powley owns the Whitewater Rafting Company. Raft is a program of the nonprofit Team Democracy, which Powley founded with Newland. In 2021, they went to a democracy summit together.
And the idea surfaced about how, as Americans, despite all of our differences, we really should try to think and talk and act as if we're all in the same boat together.
Powley and Newland have a combined 100 years of whitewater rafting guide experience. They've literally been in the same boat with many people of many backgrounds over many years. Powley says the country is polarized. He believes Washington, D.C. can't change that. But what could is literally putting people in the same boat and making them work together while they navigate rapids and contentious conversation. Next, the future paddlers were fitted for life vests. Then they piled onto a yellow school bus to the launch point in the Lehigh Gorge State Park. Each boat had a designated member to focus the conversation. Newland was that person in Raft 1.
Have you ever felt misunderstood in a political discussion? How?
Sometimes the conversation continued through the river's challenges, but not always.
All right, so I'm just going to ride this roller coaster down.
It's good for you guys on that side again.
This is the Z-turn.
Just in time for lunch, the five Team Democracy boats stopped to eat at the aptly named Lunch Rock. The massive rock slants out of the Lehigh. Scott Shigioka, a Hawaii native by way of Los Angeles, who describes himself as queer, sat on the rock. He wondered why he thought Republicans don't care about conservation.
Like, well, how did I get programmed to that way? I'm trying to understand.
Shigioka spoke to an unlikely lunch partner, Pennsylvania State Senator Argall. He's a Republican and a lifelong Schuylkill County native. Argall shared his experience trying to get legislation passed to clean up garbage tires. It was blocked by the Sierra Club.
But you're a Republican. I said, so you think I'm, like, in favor of kids falling down stripping manholes or, you know, orange water flowing through your creek?
Yeah.
Creek.
The crews finished lunch and got back on the Lehigh to paddle through the last of the rapids named Larry, Curly, and Moe. Back on shore, the crew changed out of wet clothes for a cookout and continued conversation about what they learned from the river. Shigioka pulled up to the event in his Curiosity Mobile. He was nearing the end of a six-month cross-country storytelling project where he searched for people who are making a difference in their communities. He said the journey down the river was fun and positive.
I feel more hopeful and I feel like I have new connections.
Team Democracy's next float is in August in North Carolina. Reporting from the Lehigh, I'm Kat Bolas, WVIA News.
Community Connection with WVIA's Lisa Mazzarella is an interview series dedicated to celebrating the incredible work of nonprofit organizations across Northeast and Central Pennsylvania. In this week's episode, Lisa sits down with Carol Anderson, the CEO of Bloom, a nonprofit for trafficked women in the Lehigh Valley.
Our community connection takes us to the Lehigh Valley, where Bloom, a unique nonprofit for trafficked women, brings help, hope, and healing. CEO Carol Anderson takes the story from here.
I was a foster parent for Northampton County Children and Youth. Through that experience, interacted with women who were experiencing trafficking in the Lehigh Valley. Their experience led me to asking a lot of questions in my community as to why there weren't opportunities for them to choose differently. And I learned it was a lack of choice, that there weren't other options for them, and they were choosing survival. And led to me learning about a program in Nashville, where I went to a conference there in 2014, inspired by the women we met that had been through the program and were then building the program. And they said, we'll teach you how to bring this to your home community. They invited us to become a sister program of Thistle Farms, the first in Pennsylvania in 2015, and opened our home shortly thereafter. Now I think there's close to 75 programs around the country operating the same unique approach to helping women find freedom.
I love your moniker, help, heal, and hope. So let's talk about the help. What does Bloom do for women?
We provide sanctuary and a continuum of care to heal, empower, and employ survivors of sex trafficking and commercial sexual exploitation in a variety of ways. One, to offer safe and free housing and safety. A woman can come to Bloom and live and restart her life. There's a lot of work, counseling, access to medical care, workforce development. We do a lot of training and helping identify what can be next. And we also offer employment.
That is an amazing initiative. So approximately how many of the Bloom participants are employed by the agency?
We've now been able to fully employ anyone who comes to us.
Vicki, what are some of the creative strategies you have to keep these programs happening at your agency?
We were able to make some headway with United Way of the Greater Lehigh Valley, working together with PA211, the call center for people who are in need of resources in the community. We're going to receive a couple of years programming through the state, and it's going to double the amount of women that we will be able to help.
Ashley, you've gone through the Bloom program, and you're actually working there now, so I want you to tell us about your experience.
I came to Bloom in 2017. Bloom hired me in December of 2017, and I've worked in multiple areas. So I've been afforded the opportunity to learn so much.
Did you feel there was going to be a positive change afterward?
No. I went to Bloom as a last-ditch effort because I was afraid I was going to die. And that was after I had turned the program down 3 months before. I love to talk to the women that come through the program. We have some of them working out of the office, and a couple of them have told me, I'm so grateful you're here because I know this is possible. And so that's really important at Bloom, that we do have women who have been through the program on staff. Everybody needs that little bit of hope.
Special thanks to the amazing ladies of Bloom, Carol Anderson, CEO, Director of Development, Vicki Nisbet, and Director of Operations, Ashley Caravello. This is a very content-rich story, and I invite you to listen to the entire podcast by going to wvia.org/community. For Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.
Community Connection airs each Friday on WVIA Radio during NPR's Morning Edition and All Things Considered programs. It's also available as an extended podcast, and you can find past episodes on our website, wvia.org. You can find all of these stories and more on our website, wvia.org. This has been Up to Date with me, WVIA's Lydia McFarland. Remember to subscribe and listen every weekday. You can find Up to Date on wvia.org and wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy the rest of your Friday and have a great weekend.